Thank you, Jonathan. And I smile, that song, been around a while. Andre Crouch, who's with the Lord now, but I remember, this is dating me, I was in ninth grade, my brother took me to an Andre Crouch concert, and him singing that song, leading that song. That is, man, what a memory. Anyway, awesome song, very powerful. You had a good group of songs today, Jonathan, really good in that sense. Last night, we had an awesome time at the Cimarron Apartments over there, missions team. We went over there, and we had a great time. Good connection. I know some people saw some people that they hadn't seen for a while. I know Alice connected with some people. Andrew connected with somebody from BBS. And the kids, some of the kids from BBS came up to me, and they were talking back and forth. And, oh, we remember you in BBS. And it was good. And it was just a really neat time of outreach. Pretty good turnout of families, actually. And perfect weather. Thank you for praying. Really perfect weather after all that hot this week, and then yesterday it was really nice weather and nice evening to be out, and Dwayne had brought watermelon. They loved the watermelon. The kids just kept coming back. I felt bad for the parents because I was thinking, oh boy, they're gonna have many trips to the bathroom that night, but they loved the watermelon that Dwayne had brought, and the popcorn too was all gone. So, but it was just a good, really a nice evening of outreach. I really want to thank the missions team in that sense. And that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the songs, the hymns that you gave us to lift up your name and to praise you and to thank you for the blood of Jesus and for the cross, and that we have salvation through the cross and through the blood of Jesus. We are ever so thankful for that. And as we look into your word today, and we know this is just one of the basic values, one of the basic things of being a Christian is knowing that we have forgiveness of sins, that we have hope, that we have salvation, that we have a life to live beyond this earth because of the cross. And we thank you for that. And as we look into your word, open our eyes, our minds, our hearts, expand them so that we might have a deeper walk with you, Lord. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and so as we look at our scripture today from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Very powerful passage of scripture. I like to read that. It says, it's about peace and hope, actually, but it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been through 8, yeah, I could keep reading. It was good stuff. But 8 through 8, 6 through 8. And so it's a powerful piece talking about Christ dying in the cross. And the cross is something we should never, never get tired of. You know, some churches in their church growth circles, they have eliminated the cross from their sanctuaries. I think what a crime. Because it is the center value core of who we are as Christians. And we should always remember that. They remove it because they think it is offensive to the unbeliever. Well, that's okay if it is offensive, because we know that it's the power of God, the cross is, and the blood of Jesus is the power of God for salvation. And so I'm so proud that we have our cross here, and it's important, so important in that sense way, that way. There was a little boy who one day got lost, and he couldn't find his way home, and he began to cry. And And he was so lost. And the stranger saw the little boy crying and came up to him and tried to comfort him. And he says, "What's wrong?" And the little boy said through a flood of tears, I can't find my way home. I'm lost." And wanting to help, the man asked, "Is there anything near your house that you can remember?" And the boy thought for a moment, and he says, "There's only one thing that I can remember. There's a building near my home with a cross on it." With a cross on it. The man knew exactly which cross the boy was talking about. And he took the boy by the hand and walked him to the church. And the building was with the cross. And when the boy got to the church, he knew exactly how to find his way home. And when he found the cross, he found home. And that's the way it should be for us. When we find the cross, we have found our way home for salvation, for life. I knew a pastor, his name Travis Barkowski. And sometimes he was a little left for me, but you know what kept him good and valid as a pastor? Was he liked to focus on the cross. And he would say to me occasionally, he says, "Brian, that cross," and he'd point to the cross on the outside of the church up above on the steeple, and he says, "That's what keeps me going." And that's the way it should be for us. It's the cross that should keep us going. It gives us that hope, that salvation. And we need those little reminders. That's why some of us wear, and I don't have one on today, I should have wore one today, but sometimes we wear a cross, you know? And that can be a testimony piece even. You know, somebody might ask you, "Why do you wear the cross?" Or you can share with them, you know, and I don't wear a cross all the time, but sometimes I do. I have one that a lady in my last church gave me, a beautiful old cross, and she didn't give it to me actually to wear, but it was a nice piece of wood, beautiful piece of wood. I drew a hole through it, put a necklace on, I wore it, and she was like, "Wow, I never thought about that," you know, and the cross can be a useful tool, and just think how God used something that was meant to humiliate people, to hurt people, and God used the cross for our salvation. Just the opposite. The world doesn't understand. Satan was probably thinking, I won, and he lost at the cross. Where we win at the cross, you know. So anyway, to understand salvation, we must understand that Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to die for you, for each one of you. And in dying for you, we can learn three things. And so these are just three things from this text here. The first one was the time was right. You know, God's timing is always right. We don't understand God's timing. Many times in life we say to ourselves, "Why now, God?" Or "Why this God?" Or "Why what happened here?" And we don't understand. But, you know, we have to trust. We don't understand. But we have to trust God's providence that in timing of everything. He's bigger than us. Timing, he knew that was the right time to send his son. He knew that it was the right time period to send his son to die on the cross for humanity, for you and I, for everyone past and everyone going forward. The time was right. It was perfect. God's timing is always perfect. We don't understand it, but it's always perfect, God's timing is. Because God is sovereign. That's one of the lessons of this. It says in the scripture here that, and we have to trust God's word in his scripture, it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And of course, we're part of the ungodly. We were part of that. We're only righteous because of Jesus. And so at just the right time, God knew the right time to send his son to die for you and me. He knew it. So God is sovereign. And that's a sovereign, God's sovereignty is something that's so important that we don't understand many times. And we have to trust his sovereignty of knowing everything from beginning to end. The Alpha and the, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so he is sovereign. That's one of the lessons we have to remember. And so the time was right. God has always known what time the time was right. He knew, even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and sin was introduced to the world, you know, so when Satan tempted Adam and Eve and they bought into it, he knew that down the road that he would send his son to die. And when the time was right, it was the right time for the ungodly. And it's right for you. God's time's always right for you. We think there are always people who say, oh, not now. No, it's right. It's always right. It's so important. Time. Perspective. Have you ever been to work and looked up at the clock to note the time? And let's say it's 9 a.m. Things are going slow. You may not have much to do, or maybe it's just one of those slow times on the job. You been there? Are you a clock watcher? You glance at the clock, and what seems like 3 hours, and then it's 9:05. It takes forever, you know. But then there are other times when you have so much to do, and you start at 9, and you work to five, and you work for 5 minutes, you look at the clock, and it's 3 o'clock. That ever happened to you? And it goes fast. I like those days, actually. You know, and you're like, wow, where did the time go? For these times, like, say, time is flying. You ever watch those movies where the time is going, and they show pages of the book just going like this, you know? Yeah. Guess what? Time hasn't changed. Whether you have a lot to do or a little to do, the clock was moving the same. You know what changed when time moved fast? Because you had so much to do, these activities occupied your thinking. It made it appear that the clock was spinning fast. Now here's the key piece. Is there a way we can hurry God up? That's a good question, isn't it? And what are you thinking in your mind right now? Is there a way we can hurry God up without changing his clock? God is sovereign. He controls the clock, not us. You know, we see these big disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, etc. And if you read your book of Revelation, you'll see that those are trumpet calls saying, wake up! Wake up! You know, those trumpet calls are important. We really need those trumpet calls. God's timing is right. And you know, have you ever prayed and you need to pray, God, you know, we're looking forward to your coming back again. And you pray that because you feel like you're ready. But the good part is, God is patiently waiting for more people to come into the fold. He really is. He controls the clock. But if you will give your undivided attention to being under his advisement and to please him, the time that you have to wait will seem to move a lot faster. So time is an important piece. It really is. God's time is perfect. We have to remember that God is sovereign, and his time is always perfect. We don't understand it, but we have to trust that part. The next part is that, number two, he demonstrates his own love for us. God's love, not somebody else's. And he demonstrates it. And the word demonstrate is important because you know, I like to think that I demonstrate my love to Andrea. You know, if I'm at the store and I see some flowers, and I'll buy the flowers and I'll take them home, and I'm demonstrating that I love her. God does so much more in his demonstration. His demonstration is so much, I mean, his demonstration was that he died for us, for you. He shed his blood for you. That's not a little thing to give life for another person. The scripture illustrates it by saying, well, somebody might do that for somebody that's good, but for us who are sinners, we've all fallen short of the glory of God and have sinned. We are ungodly people. And yet I know that God has created us and he loves us, and so much so that he wanted to buy us back. And that's what he demonstrated his love by going to the cross. That demonstration is so powerful. And that's a real definition of love. This world does not understand the word love by any means. You know, we know that the word love, we could go into the deeper meaning and say agape, meaning selfless love. And it was selfless. Very selfless. And we need to remember that every day, that God's love is selfless. And I'm so glad that he did it for you and for me. So he demonstrated his love, and you think about what we do back for him because we love him, but it's really so minute compared to what he's done for us, each one of you. Jesus is doing the demonstrating here, and it's more like a fiery love. He's so on fire. He gave everything, everything. I can't imagine laying down my life and letting people nail me to a cross. The pain. I'm not fond of pain. Are you fond of pain? But his pain was more than just a physical pain. It was emotional pain. The agony of taking on everybody's sins. We all have multiple sins, multiple sins that he took on your sins personally. The pain of that is more than we can comprehend by any stretch of the imagination. And so, yeah, he demonstrated his love for us. Here's the thing on lack of love. A man and his friend were playing golf one day. And one of the guys was getting ready to make his chip shot. And as he prepared to stroke the ball on the green, he saw a long funeral procession. And on the road next to the golf course. And the man took off his golf cap and got on his knees and bowed his head and prayed. His friend said, "Wow, that is the most thoughtful and touching thing I've ever seen. I can't believe how great it was for you to stop your golf swing because of a funeral procession passing by. What thoughtfulness." The man replied, "Yeah, well, we were married for 35 years. I figured that the least I could do was bow down and do that for her funeral procession." That was a lot. That's what a lot of us do. Give a nod to God. As we continue with business as usual. First love is more than functional love. It is what they call fiery love. I think we experience fiery love more when we first get married. I hope you still have it. But the illustration calls it fiery love. The idea of, that's a bad joke, but lack of love. But God's love has no lack to it. It has everything to it. Every person. He knows each one of you by name, personally. And when you meet him face to face one day, and he can say, like he'll say, "Brian, I died for you. I'm so glad you accepted that and are here. today. He'll say that to you. Wow. That can get you excited. That he says that by my name and says, I died for you, Brian. I died for you, Jim. I died for you, Ken. I died for, you know, you, Bev, Alice, everybody. You know, it's just not a mass thing. It's a personal thing that he died for you. I don't think we take that personal enough. That he demonstrated for you his love. And that's so important. If you can remember these basics about the cross and about Jesus dying for you, then you can walk around saying, wow, I have hope. I have eternal life. I should not be discouraged. And people get discouraged every day. That's what Satan's in business doing. He wants you to get discouraged, and he wants you to be in a fog, and he doesn't want you to think clear. But God has made it so clear. What more can be clear than the cross? It is so clear. The last part of it is number three, is while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, for all of us. Got to remember that, all of us. Before you can know that Jesus, you must understand that you're a sinner. It's important. You know, the wages of sin, just think about this. There's a payday for sin. The wages or the paycheck for sin is death, meaning that you would not get to go to heaven, that you would go to hell. We don't like to talk about that. People don't like to talk about that. People try to say, oh, there's no hell. There is a hell. It's spoken of clearly in Scripture. And it's a fiery place. It's a hot place. You think this last week was hot? That's nothing compared. You think about in the Scriptures and the Gospels where the man just longed to touch his tongue because he was in hell, over to the other side. We don't talk about those things anymore. We should. People need reminded that we have eternal life in a great way, that we get to go to be in presence with God and see our loved ones and family and friends who also had accepted the Lord. But the wages of sin, the payday of sin, is death. But thankfully, Jesus has paid those wages for us. That's the demonstration on the cross. He paid those wages for us. You know, if you think about it, if there's any passages in Romans you want to memorize, it's 3:23 and 6:23. 3:23 is, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us, me included. And 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But what's it say? But the gift of God is eternal life. That's what we got to remember, is the gift of God. That's the demonstration on the cross, the shedding of blood. That's the gift of God. That's the hope. We need that so much all the time. Don't forget it. That's the demonstration. That's, you know. So while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the wage for us. We get to go to heaven. So, so important. If you could, you should memorize. If I could say, as students out there, I want you to be more than a student and a follower. I want you to be a disciple that just loves. Memorize 3:23 and 6:23. It's not hard to memorize those. Then you can lead somebody else to the Lord. Because it's essential to know that you're a sinner to lead somebody to the Lord. You can't know the Lord if you don't know you're a sinner first. Some people forget that they're sinners. Some people don't know they're sinners. They think they're perfect. You ever met one of those people? Boy, they're frustrating to be around. Oh, you met one, Stacy? Oh, no fun. Not fun at all. Nope. It's so important. Now, I'm going to bring a conclusion to this with a different illustration from Tony Campolo. And Tony Campolo, he used to teach at Eastern Seminary and College, and sociologists. I don't know what you think about sociologists, but what I like about him is he always brought, and he was there in Philadelphia, and he always brought hope to a lot of people. Anyway, he was in a church out in Oregon, and he prayed for a man who had cancer. And you're thinking, what's this got to do with the cross? Well, that has everything to do with the cross. Because the cross has a bigger scope than we can imagine. The shedding of blood has a bigger scope than we can imagine. In the middle of the week, he received a telephone call from the man's wife. She said, "You prayed for my husband. He had cancer." I said, "Had." "Well, wow," he thought. "It's happened." She said, "He died." Campolo felt terrible. "Don't feel bad," she said, the woman said. "When he came to the church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short time period, and he hated God." That happens. He was angry. He was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and his grandchildren grow up. Pretty natural. I think we all feel that way. He was angry that all this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. See, we like to put God in our own box. That's the problem. But you got to remember, God is sovereign. He would lie in bed and curse God. The more his anger grew toward God, the more miserable he was to everybody around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence. "But," she said, "after you prayed for him," talking to Tony Campolo, "after you prayed for him, a peace came over him and a joy came into him. The last 3 days have been the best days of our lives." Wow, change. "We sang, we laughed, we read scripture, we prayed. Oh, they were wonderful days. And I called to thank you for laying your hands on him and praying for his healing." She said something incredibly profound. "He wasn't cured, but he was healed." Wow. It comes from Tony Campolo and his book, Year of Jubilee. But the idea is that the cross brings healing. The blood of Jesus brings healing. When we pray for people, we have to believe it with all of our hearts that God is touching people and that God is sovereign and he works in people's hearts and lives. And the cross does that. The shedding of blood does that for us. And we need to believe that ever so much. And we need to give it to other people. That's a great gift. A great gift. So we're going to have our invitation hymn, and Andrew's going to come and help lead us in that as we sing "Nothing But the Blood." Won't you stand with me? And we offer this time of prayer or to come forward and pray. See, here's valuable. There's value in prayer, so much value. Or if you want to accept the Lord, wish it. But as we sing "Nothing But the Blood," you should be touched by, you know, the whole thought of God's blood was his demonstration of his love for us. "Nothing But the Blood." We invite you to come as we sing this.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the make me whole.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the blood of Jesus and for the cross. Do a work in our hearts. Maybe we need to forgive somebody. Maybe we just need your touch. We know that because of the cross, we have those miracles. Be with us as we live for you this day and in the days to come. Bring healing to this church. Bring healing to each one here. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.